I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS Secretary. Today I want to tell you about a letter that I just sent to Germany's Federal Minister of Health, Nina Warken, because what's happening in Germany right now demands a clear public response from the United States of America. I've learned that more than 1,000 German physicians and thousands of their patients now face prosecution and punishment for issuing exemptions from wearing masks or getting COVID-19 vaccines during the pandemic. When any government criminalizes doctors for advising their patients, it crosses a line that free societies have always treated as sacred. In my letter, I explain that Germany is targeting physicians who put their patients first and punishing citizens for making their own medical choices. The German government is now violating the sacred patient-physician relationship, replacing it with a dangerous system that makes physicians enforcers of state policies. Your health is no longer your doctor's priority under this system. Your doctor instead is serving the welfare of the collective as determined by unelected technocrats with no medical training. Anybody can see the danger in this system. No democracy grounded in confidence and transparency should move in that direction. Patients must always have the freedom to make personal medical decisions without coercion or political pressure. That principle forms the bedrock of every democratic nation. But the reports coming out of Germany show a government sidelining patient autonomy and limiting people's abilities to act on their own convictions when they face medical decisions. During the COVID era, governments across the world expanded their authority. Even in America, doctors were unjustly attacked for challenging the status quo. Germany followed that same pattern, and now doctors who raised questions or challenged official directives face conviction, the loss of their licenses, and even exile from their professions. Many of these physicians took personal and professional risks because they believed that their duty to their patients required it. They stood by their Hippocratic Oath at a moment when the government institutions demanded strict conformity with state diktats. Actions like these erode public trust. They weaken the credibility of medical institutions and legal systems meant to protect the public. When decisions arise out of fear rather than open dialogue, societies pay the price long afterward. And that's why I urge the German government to change course, to end these prosecutions, to restore unjustly revoked licenses, to stop punishing doctors who acted in good faith and served their patients with integrity, and to let the German people make their own informed medical decisions. Germany has long held a respected place in the global community as a nation committed to democratic values and human rights. Policies that suppress dissent, that silence speech, that criminalize medical decision-making undermine that legacy. A confident government listens to its citizens. A free society protects the rights to think, the rights to question, and the right to choose. In my letter, I made it clear that Germany has the opportunity and the responsibility to correct this trajectory, to restore medical autonomy, to end politically motivated prosecutions, and to uphold the rights that anchor every democratic nation. History will record how leaders respond at moments like this. Thank you.
Produced by
All right,
US
folks,
Department.
That is RFK, HHS Secretary, sounding off about the lack of freedoms in our European allies. Welcome back. This is The War Room. Third hour is on. In studio with me is the one and only Rex Jones. How you doing, Rex?
Happy to be here, as always.
Well, we're going to get into Iran, it looks like, every time.
Fun.
Every
time
really
we talk
fun.
About it.
Yeah. You know, the thing we never stop talking about. I guess we're closer to war than ever. But I do want to tell people, by the way, we have a new knife on
sale. What's that in the box?
At thealexjonesstore.com. It's a very beautiful, like, collector's edition box. I actually have, not this knife, but the smaller one. I can't bring myself to throw away the box because it's so pretty, but the blade, the knife itself is a thing of beauty in more ways than one. It's got the pinup girl on the side in the InfoWars shirt. And the Alex Jones signature in Life is Fiery with its beauty on the other side.
It's incredible with its detail.
It's incredible with its detail.
Beautiful.
Buy the trench knife now, thealexjonesstore.com. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
That knife, look at that knife, ladies and gentlemen. It's available right now.
Life is fiery with its beauty. That's the front side. I'm going to flip it over. That is the better side to look at.
Really good design.
It really is a cool design. It's super sharp. I mean, that's a serious knife. I mean, you pick up that knife, it makes you want to stab something.
Yeah, I was saying on the break, be careful where you point that thing, Harrison. It's
seriously.
Quite sharp.
It's a Roman short sword.
Roman short sword, Roman dagger, Roman gladius.
I might even call that a dirk. That might be a dirk. That might be the technical term. But actually, it's actually functional. Like, it's not just built to look pretty, even though it does. It's got the guard there. I mean, people don't know because, you know, we don't get knife fights that often anymore. But, you know,
right.
The reason the Bowie knife became popular because...
Well, imagine that in Europe. I mean, you just talk to the AFD guy or in the UK. That this is like a nuclear weapon.
I was
like,
only
you
joking.
They'd send 12 people in your house in SWAT gear to take you.
If I showed it on camera, they would have arrested him. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. I always tell the story because my wife, when she was my girlfriend at the time, was in Germany for a semester. And she carried around a little pocket knife because she's from America and is like,
right.
I'm going to be walking around taking public
transportation.
Yeah. No, literally, they were like, why do you have a knife?
Why do I have it?
And she's like, self-protection. They're like, you must put that away now.
Yeah.
You will be arrested, thrown into prison for that.
Well, you can get a pet pig. You know?
There you go.
That's not a blade, but it's, you know, they avoid those.
It's effective. Yes, it's very effective. You can get this knife right now. The Life is Fiery with its beauty trench knife at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. And remember, every purchase gets 50 times entries on the dual drawing right now for both of the incredible trucks. So please do support us. We really do need your help, and you need this knife. So it's really a win-win situation. Rex, what do you think about Iran? You excited to go to war? We're finally getting it.
Yeah, don't send me. Definitely not. I don't want to go over there. No one young that I know wants to go over there. But the boomers who have picked me up in Uber rides have mentioned that I might have to go to war over there. So it's a very interesting thing where the old people are all excited about another war that they get to watch on Fox News or CNN or whatever. And then the young people have to fight or die. Or even if you're middle-aged, you have to live in the economic wasteland that something like this will inevitably produce. Right? Because they will shut down global oil shipping. They will shut down the traffic. That's part of the reason why we went into Venezuela.
Right.
That's number one. It seems like all the dominoes are lined up for this to fall.
Yes, it does. And it seems like those are the signals that we're getting from just about everywhere right now. And it's weird, isn't it, that the boomers are the ones that are charging head forward into this? Because they've lived through more disasters than the rest of us, right? How are you alive
for
Vietnam and Iraq 1 and Iraq 2 and Afghanistan? And you're just ready to try again. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, the funny thing is, like, they're like, now it's your turn, kid.
Right.
It's when I went to school, I walked uphill 2 miles in the snow.
Yeah.
Or 20 miles or whatever it is, and you don't know what it's like to have to cartwheel backwards.
When I was your age, we were sent to die in a godforsaken mud field for U.S. imperialism.
Right,
so now it's your turn.
I think that is a lot of the sentiment, especially for people that weren't in the military and didn't fight, right? And then I look at it as like, well, you know, last 10, 20 years on this earth, other people get to fight for my political ideology and I don't have to put skin in the game. I mean,
very, very
they support it.
Easy to cheer for something you don't actually have to do yourself. This is from Trump. This was just minutes ago. Effective immediately, any country doing business with the Islamic Republic of Iran will pay a tariff of 25% on any and all business being done in the United States. This order is final and conclusive. So that's what President Trump says, as again, every time I look at X, there's like 10 more warnings of the State Department saying get out of Iran. Or
well, that right there, that's key, because that tariff amount's a reasonable amount. It's not like a 500% or like a 200% or something that he throws out there as kind of like a smash and grab negotiation tactic. That's something where he's like, look, we're geopolitically ready to get geared up for this. We're going in there. And if you're going to do business with them, we still want to do business with you. We don't want to piss you off, but it's finito. You understand? It's finito. It's done with them.
Well, it also seems to hint that Trump is in favor of regime change. I mean, there's always
been
this question.
I think that's almost certain, right? I mean, like, he's with Lindsey Graham, and they're laughing about MAGA and all of this, all this stuff. And when Lindsey Graham is smiling, we're all frowning as Americans. So I think that's a pretty clear indicator of what's going on. I think if you play golf enough with a guy that wants war and death and murder, you're going to get the result of that.
And it's such a, frankly, it's a betrayal of everything Trump represented from the very first time that he, you know, made his political
splashdown.
Yeah, walk down the escalator. The first moment that he really set himself apart in my eyes was that first debate where
Jeb
Bush and the war in Iraq. Exactly.
100% correct. And I advise everyone to go watch the old 2016 primary debates. You know, I used to fall asleep to those. And it really is a political education, because he was in the middle or the beginning, I guess I should say, of taking over the Republican Party.
Yep.
But now, sitting over a decade later, it looks like the Republican Party is taking control of him. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. Interesting is one way to put it. Yeah, it's bizarre. Like, it's just like, what happened? What was he lying then? Did he not really mean it back then?
We talked about it. I think he made the Reagan deal. We're like, look, you can be the figurehead for the party. You can be the guy that everyone wants to shake the hand of, the guy that everyone wants to hang out with, the guy that gets to make all the deals and be friends with all the rich, powerful, influential people. But we're still going to do our deep state agenda. You can limit or suppress or however you want to phrase it, but there are main programs like those Epstein files that you're not allowed to mess with. You're not allowed to touch. And it's like Putin says, ultimately, when the men in the black suits, and not red or blue ties, but black ties or whatever he says, when they come in and they tell you what are you supposed to do? And I genuinely buy the excuse, the first administration, of him not having good people in office, or like good people that he appointed, right? I can buy that. But coming back after the indictments, after the political persecution, after, you know, maybe it was a decade of the Russia hoax that made him go a little loopy about just exactly who was his friend and who was his enemy. Because like he went through hell. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I find it so hard now to really not be in that Trump supporter category anymore, is because I defended him for a decade, because you'd hear just the most insane brain rot garbage from just normal average people. Trump, well, he's a Russian agent, is he? Russia's bad and they control our government. And it's like, well, like, you know, that's all fake. And Hillary Clinton paid for that Fusion GPS dossier. And there was a Mueller report, Mueller investigation for years and years and years. Nothing ever came of it. But that's what people would say, is Russia, 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 24/7. And they still say it to this day.
Yeah.
So when I try to have an elevated political conversation about this and why I'm upset, you still get the same canned response from that time period, which makes me think it had some effect on him and how he's processed things.
That is very interesting, because now it's sort of the inverse, where it's Israel, 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 Trump's an Israel puppet.
Right.
Now, I think it's more nuanced than that. I completely understand that Trump does everything Israel wants, and a lot of stuff that we see Trump do, like the, you know, invasion of Venezuela, I think has much more to do with Israel than just about any of the other excuses that they give us. So I'm not trying to downplay that at all. At the same time, I see, or I am interpreting the behind the scenes drama that's going on with Signalgate. They're trying to oust Pete Hegseth. Mike Waltz is communicating with Netanyahu behind the scenes before the negotiations. I don't think Trump is like ideologically dedicated to Israel. I think that he is trying to placate them while also trying to not get into full war with Iran. I mean, and I think probably the biggest asset he had in that was Charlie Kirk. And now that Charlie Kirk has been removed from the scene forcibly, there's nobody in Trump's ear telling him we don't want to go to war with Iran.
And then people will look at us and look at this network at InfoWars, and they'll say, well, you don't agree with Ford Ochoka. You don't agree with Candace Owens, so you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know nothing. You don't know anything. And it's like, look, we don't believe in
I met that guy.
Literally, I have too online. We don't believe in the official story. We don't believe that Tyler Robinson ultimately was the guy that acted alone and took her out alone, XYZ. I don't believe he was the guy that fired the shot that took Charlie Kirk's life out. He may have been on top of the roof. He may have fired a shot. I don't believe in that. I'll tell you what I don't believe in is the Florida Chuka Waka Blaka Haka.
Right. Well, and this is
Waka Chaka Maka Haka.
This isn't even about, like, sort of regardless of who killed Charlie Kirk, his death has had this outcome.
Well,
right?
that's the point I want to make is, like, people look at our broadcast and I think, especially you've just been so on the ball, on the target, covering the entire story, really covering the Gaza story, kind of like Charlie would cover it and how Charlie would talk about it. And there's that famous video, you see it a lot in short video format, I think it's from PBD, where he's talking about the border and he's talking about October 7th and just it not making sense. And there's got to be a stand down here for this to happen.
Yep.
You go, oh, well, he's dead.
Right. Well, but and that was 2023. So again, when you look at the Charlie Kirk phenomenon, clearly he was moving away from Israel for a while, but like, it's like if you are motivated by Charlie Kirk's legacy and you want to like honor him,
right?
I think the number one thing you should be doing is protesting against the war in Iran. I mean, whether you believe he died, whether you believe that Israel killed him so they could get the war with Iran, it's sort of beside the point. The thing that has happened is the guy who was in Trump's ear actually risking his own like position, his own power, his own influence to tell Trump, don't go to war with Iran. This is a bad idea. Nobody wants this. You're going to destroy your own legacy and America at the same time. Charlie's not here to make that argument anymore. So nobody's in Trump's ear telling him that. And it seems like he has just completely lost any connection to the people. I think Charlie Kirk was a very important vector for that. And now
That's the thing. Why were people so excited? Because ultimately Kirk, Trump, they were offering people something different. Right. Yep. They were offering people something different than the left right dichotomy. Right. They were offering a world beyond that, a world of not a third party in the traditional sense where you have Democrat, Republican, a third party that comes in and sweeps. You have the takeover and the reclamation supposedly of the Republican Party and of conservatism as an identity.
Yep.
And unfortunately, when I said that we had seen that from both of them, Trump has stopped doing it and Charlie Kirk has died. So this is the situation we're in now.
That's 100%. That's what's happening.
My approximation.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But it's all good because ground invasion, Iran, it'll be wonderful. We'll bomb them for like 2 weeks and that won't be enough. And then, they hit a hospital in Israel. Oh, we have to go in. We have to go protect our ally.
Right.
And then it'll be me and my co-host Tim will be in the bunker and it'll be all fun, ready to invade the town. And then we get IED blown up. Oh, and then it's an old person sitting at Mar-a-Lago or at Palm Beach somewhere drinking a martini going, oh, another 2,000 have died. That's unfortunate.
Yes.
That's quite unfortunate. And it won't even be an American, bro. It won't even be an American. The Americans will be sitting there with that person, but there'll be foreign old people laughing about dead young Americans. Think about that. Yeah. And when did you sign up for that? When did you vote for that? I voted for Trump twice. I never voted for that once. And it's because he made it clear his platform was anti all of that. He's anti-war. He's anti-intervention. He was anti-regime change. And then now it's the same thing as we get banned off Twitter. He says, as long as I'm on Twitter, it's okay. He said, as long as I'm presently all right, then the situation is okay for now. That's a drug addict's mentality.
Mm.
That's a crackhead's mentality. That's what that is. And that can't be accepted in American politics, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when it comes to the Gaza ceasefire, obviously Israel is not adhering to it. I think the report I saw today.
We ignore it.
Yeah, you know, absolute destroy. This
because you got the headline of peace, right? That's all you
right.
need.
Well, it's a ceasefire. Please ignore all the fire. This from thecradle.co. Absolute destruction. Israel demolishes 2,500 buildings in Gaza after the October ceasefire. So, you know, they didn't want the ceasefire.
Right.
Because they're not adhering to it. Trump forced it on them. J.D. Vance actually came out, you know, in a speech later at one of the TPUSA events. He was asked about it, and he said, basically, we had to use some leverage to get that ceasefire. Well, they're not really sticking to it.
Well, and that's the thing. And you point this up. This is a learning experience for both me and the audience. You know, I wasn't informed of this until Bezalel Smotrich told me that. I didn't know a lot about demolition and reconstruction and building resorts on top of graves or cemeteries. I guess it's what a casino is at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Bezalel Smotrich, the Israeli finance minister, explained to me that deconstruction or demolition is the most expensive part of building any new thing. So it's good that it's happening now during the war and as much property and as much buildings exist to be destroyed.
So they're just
it's part of the process to build the Trump Gaza, to build the resort, and it's fun.
Right. It's The genocide is an economic decision.
Yes, that's an economic decision. It's purely, and we're just trying to get the hard part done first. You see, and that makes it fair. They can all go to Somaliland, this place we invent.
Ah, yes,
you
yes.
See?
As long as
and
the $10 billion keeps getting funneled from American taxpayers to the Somaliland, then everything will be peachy.
Right.
But this is the thing, right? It's like, okay, if Trump was just fully on Israel's team, they would still be, you know, there'd be no ceasefire. They would have fully taken over Gaza by now. Obviously, he's not like in their pocket. But where does he draw the line? Where is the line? Is there a line, or am I misreading things?
You know, I have a hard time walking my dog. I got a dog named Rupert. You've met Rupert many times. Rupert is like 120-pound,
spirited lad,
half European Doberman Pinscher. He doesn't have his ears cut, so he's got nice, floppy ears. And I'll be walking him at night, and he'll be pulling me. I'll be like, "Hey, man, you got to stop. You got to stop." And he pulls and pulls and pulls, and be like, "Hey, man, you got to stop." And eventually, he stops. Right after I've begged and pleaded enough with him to stop, and I think that's what goes on with Trump and Netanyahu, except the leash is kind of attached to Trump's arm. He can't take it off, and he's got to contain Bibi. I mean, right. One of the funniest things I saw, you remember when J.D. Vance was over in Israel at the Holy Sepulchre and all that? Mm-hmm. I saw Judge Napolitano call it Bibi sitting. Like he's there to babysit Bibi, basically.
Interesting.
To make sure the war doesn't pop off then. Because ultimately, you know, it's a lot like the dog, right? Like if I'm in the bathroom and I have to live in the house with the dog and I have food on the table, the dog's going to go try to steal the food. That's bad, Netanyahu. No, don't. Shame, right?
Yeah, no, seriously. You gotta like watch him.
Shot collar, perhaps.
So yeah, Israel draws up new attack plans to expand control of Gaza. They've already built like 58 bases inside what they're called the yellow zone.
They're just securing it. It's okay.
So it's like area. This is obviously in flagrant violation of what Donald Trump made them sign. And it's not just that. It's the West Bank, right? Trump said it with no uncertain terms. We played the clip a lot on this show. He's asked about the West Bank settlement, and he said, it's not happening. It's gone on too long. They're not annexing the West Bank.
Look, they got Bibi, and he showed up as the Bibi sitter. I wonder if he's looking for children to kill.
Maybe.
And he's like, where are the children?
He's like, did I kill them all already?
Do you want me to do it all at once or one at a time? We can figure it out.
I mean, that is...
He's a monster. He's like Hitler. Like, seriously. And then this guy, he's our buddy. And just like Gulani in Syria, right? Like, they're literal genocidal fascists, in my opinion.
I mean, it's really hard to argue against that.
I guess that's just the world, right? I guess you look at everywhere.
Well, this is the crazy thing. There's giant riots in Tel Aviv right now. There's obviously big riots all over America. There's big riots, like, everywhere. It's, like, even in their own countries.
Right.
The people don't want them in charge. So it is this cabal of psychopaths that are all like hardcore dedicated to the Greater Israel Project that are sitting on top of all of these populations that don't want them to be in leadership, but they are. And so they're imposing free speech restrictions and, you know, all these other controls to silence the outrage.
It's safety. You know, it's sanitization. That's what Ursula von der Leyen, the unelected head of the EU, says. You know, she goes, we don't censor. We're sanitizing. It's just sanitization, right? Because we're stopping people from getting sick. Because knowing the truth, it makes you sick because you want to do something about it.
Yes, they're vaccinating us against disinformation.
That's literally what she – yeah, that's, you're quoting her basically.
Yeah.
Breaking, riots in Tel Aviv, one dead and six injured. Is this recent? Is this happening right now? A settler has been killed by the Eritrean rioters in Tel Aviv and six are injured. They are smashing windows and looting stores in the surrounding regions of Tel Aviv.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing is that, you know, Israel cracks down on protesters just like Iran does. I had a video a few days ago, maybe the crew can find it, of, Israeli security forces firing on protesters to disperse them and killing a couple of them. Inside Israel's 2026 plan to ethnically cleanse the West Bank, should we say sanitize? I mean,
sanitize.
We're sanitizing.
Containment's also good. Yeah, that's what they like to say and do.
Yeah.
There's Smotrich right there. He's plotting the demolition.
He actually went to personally deliver the eviction notices to the people who have been in the West Bank for the last 1,000 years. Because it's a thrill. Because it's
a
exciting.
Fetish. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I evicted five more.
I get to look right in their eyes when I tell them that we're stealing their ancestral
your house.
Home and giving it to some lady from New York that just moved there.
And then we give the settlers money.
Of course.
We give the settlers
money.
Well,
they don't work.
Well, it's very important.
Their job to
take over.
I mean, they're busy burning down olive groves and throwing rocks at old ladies. You can't expect them to have a job.
And then everyone goes the modern argument for Trump and the Zionists being linked at the hip and MAGA and all of it. They say, look, listen, we're just doing colonization, and we, like, y'all are, you can be proud of being white. You can do colonization too. You can invade these countries. It's fine. We don't care. But where were you with that during all the DEI and all the censorship and all the hell? You were still doing your theocracy, racism, party thing. And we weren't allowed to do it. But then, oh, maybe we want to do it. And then it's okay as long as you're our friend and do everything we want.
And don't you think that is part of it, where like the Lindsey Grahams of the world, they would love if it was socially acceptable to be that way for America, but it's not. So they're just that way for Israel. Like they want to be like, you know, when they see Mexico or whatever, they want to just be like, go in there, kill them all, brutalize them all. But they can't do that because like that's not the way the media landscape treats these things. So but in Israel, they can beat their chest. They can call for blood. It's awesome.
You're the chosen people. And anyone who does anything against you is cursed because you say so and you have American weapons and you can kill them. Like it's like, yeah, I guess we're cursed if we hate you because you have a Hellfire missile.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're cursed if you don't give the mugger your wallet. You know,
that's a very good observation.
God will end up leaving a knife in your chest. You know, it's just the way God works, I guess. So but this is a slap in the face to Trump. Trump specifically said that he didn't want this. And I almost think that was like a signal from Trump. Like, guys, I don't want this and I have no ability to stop it. And that's really what I think is the lesson that can be learned from the Trump administration is literally it doesn't matter if the person in power that you voted for that is the president wants to stop it or not. It goes on regardless. We do not have a democracy. We do not have representation. We are a subject people. That's really what it's
coming
clear
to me. That's the truth. And, you know, people will go, InfoWars, And then, like, you hear a message like that from you, and, like, that's my message, too, right? It's like, we have a right to have agency within our own government. We have a right to have a representative democracy, a republic, where someone that you vote for actually represents your interests at the state and national level. But instead, what we have is people that represent the interests of corporations in foreign countries ahead of our own.
And our government, our Congress, our Senate will never come together on anything.
Because they're paid not to.
Except when BB comes to town and it's 20 minutes of standing ovations from both sides.
And you can never get both sides to clap for anything. That's another extreme example. You can point to things and break people out of the PSYOP really well. I like the Canadian Nazi and the standing ovation there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Ukrainian guy who fought the Russians during World War II and Justin Trudeau gives him a medal.
A standing ovation, yeah. But
yeah.
But, I mean, that is such an important thing, right, is that no president who we will ever elect will be cheered by both parties. You would think that the thing that would unite the American Congress would be pro-Americanism. You would think that, like, somebody who came out and gave a speech that was just pro-America and America's the best, everybody from both parties would rise. That's not the case.
Why don't we both rise. Why don't we just try someone new, like Fishback or Aaron Baker or one of these new candidates? Why don't we just try someone that's never been in office before? We did that one time. The guy was a billionaire. It may have been a little wonky or a little zany, but let's try it again. Let's try people that stated mission is to do things like term limits, like reforming Congress, like actually using the checks and balances available to that branch of government. Let's vote for that, Harrison.
I think so, and I think we're seeing a lot more candidates come out of the woodwork, like Fishback or Casey Putsch in Ohio. I mean, people are standing up to the despotism of the Republican Party, and the Republican Party is trying desperately to crack down on those, but we'll see. And that does need to be our focus this year, is finding the right primary people to get rid of the Lindsey Grahams out there. Folks, we'll be back on the other side. I do want to remind you, the Life is Beauty Trench Dagger is now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's 50% off.
You must have it.
Inductory price, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, get your knife today. It's one of our best-selling knives for good reason. Get it in your hand.
It's got beautiful on the blade. Beautiful on the blade. You can't beat that.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I've just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, in studio with the one and only Rex Jones.
That's right. We're having our secret pro-Israel discussion before the break ended.
Yes.
We're plotting, you see, on how to best to sanitize the news like we were talking about before. But go ahead, Harrison.
No,
I just drop a bomb on you. I just throw it at you.
It's unbelievably pro. Well, we were just talking about the fact that yesterday I talked about Patagonia, the accusations being made that Israelis are posing as tourists, IDF members going in and starting fires in Patagonia, and that it is because it's the same thing happened in Lahaina and the Pacific Palisades. You burn it.
Oh, just the most valuable place. It just burns up, and we got
to
fix it. We
got
to go in and fix it. We got the construction company.
Just happened to pass laws last year that opened it up, you know, for purchase if and only if it's burned. And what do you know? It starts to get burned.
Ooh, we should watch the clip.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of videos about this we can go to. But the frustrating thing is we post this video from Alex's show yesterday.
Right.
Within the first minute, I say, like I just did, Israelis are being accused of doing this. And then every comment underneath is like, why aren't you saying who's doing this? Why are you covering up for the Israelis? So it's just it's part of the frustration of being InfoWars, actually talking honestly, forthrightly, and frankly, bravely about this very, like, sensitive topic, only to have people not listen to us and then claim that we're doing the exact opposite.
Well, it's not good enough because the anonymous account, you see, it has all sorts of thoughts and opinions. It's very brave to share them, but ultimately it's not sitting in front of the camera broadcasting to tens of thousands of people.
That's right. They're not on terrestrial radio talking to a huge cross-section of Americans who all have their own opinions and points of view.
People are unique. I didn't understand this. Everyone's a group.
It's so confusing. You know, and it's really not. You know, like we care about one race. We care about the human race. That means you don't get to have a ethno state anywhere. You don't get to have certainly a religious ethno state where it's both ethnicity and religion.
Well, that's what I always talk about. Where it's like some people are like, oh, you know, I wish we could be like Israel. And like, sure, I wish we had border protection. That'd be nice. I wish we had a government that represented our interest in some way. That would be nice. But the whole idea of like, you need blood tests to make sure that you're pure enough to be in our, the whole thing's creepy.
That's right. You need a court order for a blood test as well, because they don't want you poking around.
Yeah.
They don't want you looking into things. It's very interesting. You know, if a Jew dies in Israel, right, or in Palestine, if an American dies in America, the American government goes, fentanyl overdose, car crash, heart attack, we don't care. If someone dies over there, they do everything possible to make sure it doesn't happen again. Mm. So at least there's something to be said for that, right?
Right.
Because we don't do that. We don't have even 10% of that for our own people. Maybe if you're in a Russian prison somewhere because you brought weed, Joe Biden will bail you out and release Victor Boone.
Right, right, right. But if you're a journalist covering Ukraine and get murdered by Zelensky.
R.I.P. Gonzalo Lira. Say his name, Gonzalo Lira.
Exactly, yeah. Seriously, R.I.P. Gonzalo Lira or any of the hundreds of journalists that have been killed in Gaza.
We need to take those slogans back because they're good. Say her his name and then rest in power. Rest in power, Gonzalo Lira, who fought against an evil Ukrainian security police and terror regime, really, to get honest journalism out of that country, and then was put in a camp and ultimately killed for what he did.
Yep. So
he's trying to bike and escape out of the country. That was the last video he ever put out. I'm going to be talking about that tonight on my show. I'll be live at 9 p.m. my profile.
Just trying to get away.
Yeah.
And of course, you can be followed on X at Rex Jones News with a Z.
If y'all want to catch me live, I'll be live tonight. And I'm live every day, 2026. Every single day, I am live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I am live Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. I do a phenomenal show, Gray Area Talks, me and my co-host Tim. We do deep dives. We do phenomenal guest interviews. We do call-in shows. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, I am live at Rex X Gray Area, which is still just linked in my profile, and you can find all these shows on the Gray Area Talks YouTube or Rumble page. If you want to check me out, check me out. If you don't, it's all good. Just, even if you don't subscribe, just go like one of the videos. It would help a lot. I would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Shameless plug.
There are lots of completely free ways to support us, folks.
Right.
Share the content.
Share the links. That's what Alex has always said, right? It's just share the live feed, share the link, get it out there.
And because it is, at the end of the day, all about getting this information out, changing people's minds with the truth and reality, and we need your help in that. So thank you to everybody who does support us. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Just make sure you're following InfoWars at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live, at Rex Jones News.
Yes.
All of that. So what do you want to get into, Rex? Do you want to get into Patagonia or do you want to stick with Iran for now?
Let's do all of it. Let's do all of it. Why do we have to limit ourselves?
We have 19 minutes. All right. Let's start. Actually, we were talking about this previously. Let's go to clip 28 here, because really this year for us, at least the beginning part of the year, needs to be about identifying outside politicians and dethroning some of the worst rhino Republicans like Lindsey Graham, or in this case, Randy Fine. Randy Fine has a challenger who I'd love to get on the show and talk to him.
Aaron Baker.
Because honestly, anybody would be better than Randy Fine. But whether it's Lindsey Graham or Randy Fine, or there are some good people like Ron DeSantis, but he's not going to be governor anymore. Fishback is the guy for me, Casey Putsch, in Ohio. We've already had a couple of these guys on, but we're going to double down on this effort, because if we are going to not fall into civil war, then we need the right people representing us, and we really would be able to solve all of these problems in a day or two. It would really be so easy. So let's go to this video. This went totally viral. There's a new political action committee, and it is the inverse of AIPAC. It is the anti-AIPAC political action committee.
AZA.
AZA PAC. And they just made this commercial for against Randy Fine and in favor of Aaron Baker. Let's watch.
Randy Fine, a morally bankrupt monster who gleefully celebrates the slaughter of innocent children, fuels deadly violence, and shamelessly boasts about it online. This is no leader. This is a danger. Even AIPAC, the pro-Israel powerhouse, briefly disowned this Israel-obsessed fanatic
for his
genocidal reign.
To think that someone like this is electable is beyond anything. And like they always go, oh, like, you know, the high school girlfriend or whatever, like you can't have anything like that. That's a problem. And this guy's literally like, kill them all, starve away. Palestinian is just another word for demon. Nuke Gaza. Thanks for the pick of the dead baby. Ooh. Like he gets off on it, man. And it's beyond anything.
It really is. Like, it's so disturbing. I mean, because I can understand if you're like, if you have family in Israel, right, and you witness October 7th, and you're like, look.
You're angry, and you want to go over there and kill them. Yeah, I mean, and
well,
that's—
Well, not even that. If you're just, you know, if it's just like, hey, we can't let Gaza continue to exist as it is. We got to do something. This sucks, but here we go. Like, okay, I still don't agree. I still am going to argue against you, but at least you have some form of humanity in you. It's not, you're not actually getting off. You're not actually thrilled and excited by the death of children. That is sick, and there's no excuse.
And that's the interesting thing you point at, and I talk about this a lot, and I'm critical of ICE, right? And I go, look, I want all these people out of the freaking country, or I want them all gone.
Yeah.
But the way you do it is you set up a program that's so good and so efficient and so reasonable that it can be carried over administration to administration to administration to eventually, oh, well, you know, it couldn't solve the problem in 4 years. We did it in 11.
Yeah.
But instead, it's nuclear option 24/7. And I see that a lot with other countries. I mean, you look at Israel is a great example of that, right? And look at the people that support Israel. They go, look, we know what we're doing is wrong. We know somewhere deep down inside, we know that it's wrong. So in order to make sure to minimize risk, we're going to do it as quick as possible, as grotesque as possible, as violent as possible, and then hope we can just get away in time before the metaphysical police show up. Right.
I mean, that could be it. I also,
that's what I think.
I think it could be the opposite. You know, I think it could be that obviously the Jewish diaspora and the control systems like AIPAC or, you know, the ADL, they require anti-Semitism, so-called, quote unquote.
To manufacture, there's a need, there's a demand, and you need a supply.
Exactly.
Right?
So the worst Israel acts, the more criticism they receive, you transmute that criticism into anti-Semitism. Suddenly you can show charts that show it has exploded 10 times. Well, it has, and it's just a reaction to the outrageous behavior of Israel. And so the more outrageous they act, the more anti-Semitism there is, the more anti-Semitism is, the more power the Jewish groups get. So I think they could have, I mean, they could have killed everybody in Gaza by poisoning the water. They could have dropped a biological weapon that only targeted Arabs genetically. I mean, there are so many ways they could have done what they did, but done it quietly and silently. They did it in the most offensive and abusive and you know, outrageous way possible.
Because they felt entitled to do it. They felt that it was right, but also I think that comes with feeling that it's wrong also and needing to get it over with. So that then I've heard Keaton and Russell on Due Dissidence, excellent show, Due Dissidence. I've heard them make this point numerous times. They go, oh, you know, it's just like the Native Americans. We'll build a statue. We'll build a statue in a few years. Oh, it was sad what had to happen. But instead of something being centuries ago, it'll be a couple decades ago.
Well,
and they'll go, well, this is normal.
And they'll actually say, you know, how dare those Gazans make us kill them? That's actually the...
look at the amount of money we had to spend on the weapon. It's not very economical for us to do it, but we had to.
It hurts us. We don't want to kill them, but we have to. And where are really the victims here?
I mean, I've literally heard that argument. I'm not even making that up. I mean, that's the way some of these people view this. And... You know, actually, I have a couple videos that I want to go to around this topic. And I guess before we go to this clip, let me remind you what Syria is like right now. They want Syria of Christians. A community speaks of betrayal, terror, and exile. On Christmas morning in Damascus, the sound of church bells rings hollow against a backdrop of fear. In a city once proud of its religious mosaic, Syria's Christians are now living as shadows of themselves, cautious, silent, and increasingly absent. This after we spend a decade and a half overthrowing the more secular ruler and installing an ISIS commander as the president of that country.
I forget whose directive it was. I need to do deep research on this and figure it out before tonight. But it was someone. I heard Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson talk about this. He said, look, it's our stated objective by so-and-so official that we don't want a secular any secular countries in the Middle East. It's better for us if they're balkanized and ideologically controlled by the radical Muslims.
Yep.
So you look at the situation, you look at Maduro, drugs, XYZ. Why don't we go smash and grab that guy? Why don't we go take Giuliani and go put him in leg irons and make him walk around MDC? Why can't we do that? Because he's killing our people. He's killing the Christians. He's persecuting them. But, oh, no, we got to get the drug guy. We got to get the drug guy. So I don't buy into it anymore. It's all football. It's all Star Wars story. Politics is a rough ecosystem that no one understands except for the controllers. We're doing our best to barely observe what's going on.
Right. Right.
It's so layered. You see what I'm saying? There's so many factors to it all.
Yeah. And it's all BS. And I mean, at the end of the day, they're just going to do what they want to do regardless.
Right.
And I think that's sort of the most, depressing, upsetting, I don't know what the term is, but the fact that, I mean, for 2 years, it's been genocide being carried out in real time that we've all witnessed, and nobody can stop them.
Well, it's disenfranchising, right? Because as Americans, we want to be able to say we're the best people, we're the greatest people, we've done the most for the world and for ourselves, and we deserve to be like Roman citizens in a way and feel proud of our American citizenship. But they do these things in our name, and I feel like the American people are owed, like, defamation reparations from the government because they've done this in our name. They've said the American people want us to do XYZ evil, illegal war crime. So then we get full license to do it just because we say. It's a lot like us going over and taking people's oil just because we say it's ours. We make it ours, right? So we just, the young people especially, we reject that. We're not living in that world anymore. We refuse to live in that world.
100%. And we refuse to be party to it by, you know, like voting for Trump again. You know, it's like, we've sort of
do what you said you were going to do. Do what you said you were going to do. Why aren't we right now in the Arctic with the Russians exploring the reserves there, the hundreds of trillions or however much money it is and rare earths and metals and oil and gas? Why aren't we using their sub-zero extraction technique, which we don't have? We've been offered this deal. We didn't take it. Instead, we go, okay, future trillions of worth for the country. We don't want that. We want to spend $300 billion fighting you and killing Ukrainian people to fight you. Because we won't fight you ourselves. And it's just the most cowardly, pathetic, and sick thing I have ever seen in my entire observation of politics. Because we knew the prior people were bad. We knew Obama, Bush, Biden. We knew they're bad. We have hope for this guy because he said the right stuff. And then he does the opposite.
Right.
It hurts my feelings, you know?
It does.
I grew up loving the guy.
And it's also like, you know, part of the trick of being democratic or having a republic is like, well, at the end of the day, it's kind of our fault because we put these people in office. But, and that's the reason I said, like, you know, voting for Trump was a vote against war in the Middle East. It was a vote against the Ukraine war. So you can't say that this is America's fault. We voted for the people that sent us to war.
But they
deliberately voted against this. They still did it.
Right. But they scammed us, Harrison. They scammed us. They said, look, this political system is legitimate. Right. That's what they told us. And then you had people like my father come out and say, no, this isn't legitimate. Right. Like, we need independent thought. We need an independent candidate. And that's why he supported Trump. That's why he still does support Trump.
Yep.
And we look at kind of a post-Trump situation. We're in the second term. And then in a few years, like, someone else is going to be the president. Where are the deliverables? Like, he's a businessman. Like, where are the deliverables? And the deliverables are actually there. It's just it's war. It's death. It's economic manipulation. You can say, hey, we had to do those things because the situation was so bad. And it was like, well, if we had other options, and people are still with their hand outstretched trying to do business with the United States. And that was his stated objective, is to be a businessman, right? Yeah. So why can't we do business instead of war? But I guess war is the business.
Well, and as you pointed out earlier, to quote Putin, it's the men in black suits, the presidents, all of them, apparently, according to Putin, Bush and Clinton and Obama were all on board with welcoming Russia into the family of nations.
Great ideas.
And every time, nope, sorry, we're keeping them on the back burner. We got to keep them in reserve so we can start a war out of nowhere in order to start World War III. Like, that's always been the plan. That's why Russia was always kept on the back burner. That's why they weren't allowed to be embraced fully as a European nation, even though they got rid of communism and, you know, purged all of their oligarchs under Putin. Still not good enough, which the Ukrainians never did, by the way. The Ukrainian oligarchs never got purged in the way that Putin purged the Russian ones.
Oh, and they got more money, too.
Yeah, maybe that's actually sort of the underlying reason why Ukraine's in war right now. But let's go to clip number four here, because this is Israeli media talking about what Israel plans to do if and when the Iranian regime falls. And again, I want to remind you before we go to this video, clip number four, they want to cleanse Syria of Christians. A community speaks of betrayal, terror, and exile. Let's watch. He says, can we bring it up on screen? Okay. I'll read it. Here, let's start it over so I can read the subtitles here. He says, I'll tell you, a year and 2 months ago, there was Operation Arrow of Syria. Okay, the regime has fallen. Do you remember what happened 20 minutes after Assad took off on a plane to Russia? The state of Israel turned Syria into one big shooting range. True, but not some beautiful Freudian mistake. I really hope that the United States will do this, and that means Iran's story, as far as I'm concerned, becomes hopeful. A significant strategic threat to the state of Israel will very soon become history. So do you see what he's saying? He's saying that when Syria fell, Israel immediately bombed the hell out of every site they could in Syria.
He liked the bloodbath. He wants to see it again. And you notice, like, oh, all the propaganda and all the footage, oh, regime change is awesome. They want to be free. The evil Ayatollah, XYZ. And the same people pushing that out, people like that guy, are the people that are like, look, it's good for our state for this to happen. And that's the real reason why it's happening, right? Yes. It's regime change to their benefit. Like, K. Bono, like, who benefits?
Yep.
It's the Israelis.
And, like, I would want to maybe show that video to the Iran protesters. Like, again, I get if you're under this oppressive regime, I feel for the people that do want to be free and don't want to be controlled by, a religious extremist sort of state. On the other hand, I also wouldn't want to be bombed to hell by Israel when my people fall. So, like, that's a weird thing. If they want the protests to succeed, well, they're out there going, as soon as these protests succeed, we're bombing all of them. It's like, okay, what?
Right. Well, we'll take it with a grain of salt. I had Suleiman Ahmed on last night, a Muslim gentleman, and I was talking to him about this, and we're like, what's making people mad in Iran? Like, what are the protests about? And it seems to be they're mad at the government of Iran, meaning the president, because of inflation and a very bad drought. Mm. It doesn't seem like it's directed towards the supreme leader in the same way as it's directed towards the Iranian president.
Interesting.
So for us in the West to see a video of a girl lighting a cigarette with the burning photo of the Ayatollah, and then it comes out that's from Canada and that's from 3 years ago. Here's the thing. I am tired of the Star Wars story. Whenever I see it, the Rebel Alliance versus the Empire, whenever I see it, now it's a political figure telling me it, I reject it. I'm like, this is not true.
Right.
So when I see this being pushed, I'm like, hey, it's not our fight, number one. And then number two, you're asking us to commit to it morally. You're like this is our responsibility to do. But it's a guy in Israel saying it's good for his state. So why can't they just do it? Why can't they just do it? Netanyahu says he wants to have his own defense industry. Why can't they just do that now? Why do they need to wait 10 years to extract last of our wealth?
Yep.
Right? Why can't they just do it now? This is from 3 years ago. This is from Canada. And then you got people saying this is happening now in the streets, and they actually believe it.
Yeah, and it's really hard to tell what to believe. But of course, I don't think it's a coincidence that basically as soon as Iran got a handle on the Starlink situation from OSINT Defender, Iran's digital blackout has now developed military jammers to shut down access to Starlink. Despite reports that tens of thousands of Starlink units are operating inside Iran, the blackout has also reached satellite connections. It's reported that about 30% of Starlink's uplink and downlink traffic was initially disrupted, quickly rising to more than 80%, according to the Iranian opposition news outlet Iran Wire. So,
well, that's just dumb on the Iranians' part. Why are you going to have Elon's stuff controlling all?
Well,
your...
no, it was.
Oh, it's not.
It was sent in. Yeah. The Israel and America was sending in these.
Oh, he sends you internet.
As soon as that communication to the to the international forces gets cut off, the riots sort of die down and flame out. So it's, you know, a lot of people are pointing to this and going, yeah, as soon as the actors inside stop getting direction from Israel, they didn't know what to do anymore.
It's literally a James Bond movie over there. Literally, like you got the IDF and the Mossad versus the IRGC and the Ayatollah and the military
secret
police.
Nuclear sites.
Yeah,
moving uranium,
enriched uranium, centrifuges underground, under mountains. It's all. Can't we just? We got. It's Otto Bismarck said it. German leader, World War I. A lot of people know. We got fish to our right and left, and we got weak neighbors to our north and south. Why can't we just enjoy it? We don't have to fight anybody.
Right.
We have nukes, and then we have weak neighbors and then no neighbors. Why can't we just enjoy the fruits of our ancestors' labor, the patriots, the pioneers that built this place for us? Would they care about a war in a desert somewhere? No!
Especially not when their homelands are being invaded by 10 million foreigners.
Indeed, very true. And it's an attack on all fronts. We're told that we're supposed to hate foreigners, just not the ones that come in our country.
Right.
Very interesting.
Right. Does the left know that the Iranians are all just Americans that haven't gotten here yet? They want to go...
Well, it's like Randy Fine says, like another word for Palestinian is demon. Like, it's perfect. You dehumanize the person, and then it's not a person anymore. It's an object. It's a slave, and then you can do whatever you want to it. And then that's like antithetical to the American system, but not antithetical to theirs.
Yeah. Right?
So it's very interesting.
No, it's very true. And we just have time to go to this. I don't know if you've seen this. Clip 41. Let's go to clip 41. We'll do it quickly, and then we'll comment on the other side. Bizarre, surreal interview. Netanyahu is asked about why they won't let journalists into Gaza. Let's watch.
One way of putting pressure on Hamas is for the world's press to report what's really going on there and to give body to the things you've been saying about what they're doing. Why don't you allow international journalists into Gaza?
I think we do, but we could do more.
Not without being with the IDF.
Yeah, well, that's not an uncommon practice, but I can tell you one thing. First of all, we don't want any journalists killed, and some have been.
Oh, how would that happen? Pause it, please. please. All right, just go back to me, please. Just go back to us, just wide shot. How would that happen? Oh, the journalists got killed. It's because of Hamas. It's so dangerous. See the dead journalists. It's like the entire world knows that you're like, well, you know, if we let him in there alone, we could probably kill him and then it would be fine. You can literally see him making the propaganda calculation in his mind. As the interview goes on, but keep playing it. It's too much.
And I think they've killed 400 journalists. I think is the recent count.
Well, that's not a real number. Amalek is all biblical genocide.
That's right. It was all Amalek.
It's
okay.
All sanitization.
Back to our God King.
Not without
our president
being with the idea.
Our president.
Yeah, well, that's not an uncommon practice. But I can tell you one thing.
Wow.
First of all, we don't want any journalists killed, and some have been tragically killed because there's crossfire.
Could you say definitively that you will allow the international press in without the IDF?
I didn't say without the IDF, but we can have more numbers than you can see. I mean, it's so small. You can't really, it's not like a...
I've been there with the IDF. No. It is small, but it is much...
They didn't kill me. They thought I was worth keeping alive.
Independently. And if you really want to change the perception of Gaza, then you... It is not. There's a ceasefire now.
Yeah, but
in
it's
place.
Still a war zone.
We're smoking crack tonight.
We're still bombing everybody.
That you have something that you want to hide when you won't let the press in.
No, it's not. But it's dangerous. We just had this now, today. We had rocket fire. A few days ago, we had sniper fire. That's yesterday, actually. I wouldn't be so cavalier about it.
All right, we'll take us out of this.
God forbid we close out with Bibi Netanyahu. Great show, Harrison. I really loved your interview with the AFD guy.
Wasn't that great? Folks, please do share this information. Please do support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself this beautiful trench knife for 50% off right now. It's 50% off. Introductory price. It's not going to last long. Supplies probably aren't going to last long. It is a absolutely beautiful upgrade to what was already
right. An
incredibly well selling and greatly appreciated knife. Life is fiery with its beauty. The new trench knife, the new version of the trench knife. It's the same old trench knife with a very cool new engraving saying life is fiery with its beauty, as well as that beautiful pinup girl on the side. Go get it now for 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Rex, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you. See you on the other side.
See you tomorrow, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it because it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.